brothers and sisters. Let's open our Bibles back to Exodus 34. And I know it was a couple weeks ago since we had a snowstorm, so just to kind of do a recap there, we've been really seeing this portion of Scripture, and tonight we're going to see this a wonderful revelation that the Lord brought to Moses' heart to ask the Lord and actually call out to God, "Show me thy glory." As you read back through there, we're not going back tonight, it's interesting the back and forth that was going on at that time. And for Moses to pop forth with, "Show me thy glory," you know that that was on the Lord's heart for him for many, many years. And God brings him to this point, and we're getting closer to the end of his life at this time. And I do want to make mention, I had said weeks back that he was 120 years old. He's 120 years old when he passes, and that will be at Mount Nebo. But for this purpose where he's at right here, he's 80 years old, all right? So I apologize that I had mentioned that at that time. Sometimes I get a little bit carried away. This will go a little bit flighty, but by the grace of God, he'll hone us in. But what's so beautiful about this is God brings him to that point. And we see, as we especially studied last time we got together, chapter 34, verse 2. God is calling Moses up for this appointment where he's going to show him his glory. And we saw that the Lord said, "Hey, look, you're only going to see my back parts. You're not going to see my face." Okay? And we saw that that word "back parts" means actually, in interpretation, it means the future. So we see that truly there's a meaning for us, isn't there? There always is in the Word of God. As a matter of fact, the Word of the Lord tells us that they wrote these things for us. Amen? And we know that there's these yea deep things of God in all of this testimony. But we saw that truly, in verse 2, it was really the revelation of the bridal message. And when I say that, it's basically that the Lord's going to present to himself this glorious church, this bride. And we saw last week, or a couple weeks back, in verse 2 of chapter 34, every word was so detailed and impacted with meaning. And we're talking about the meaning in the Hebrew as you look these things up, which testified and gave us revelation. Basically, of that glory dawning morning when the trumpet will blast, when Jesus Christ will take his bride. So in a real quick recap, let's go ahead and read verse 1 and 2 for just a moment before we move on. And it says there in chapter 34, "And the Lord said unto Moses, Hew thee two tables of stone like unto the first, and I will write upon these tables the words that were in the first tables which thou broke or breakest." And here we go. "And be ready in the morning, and come up in the morning unto Mount Sinai, and present thyself there to me in the top of the mount." So, what he's doing is getting him ready for glory, praise God. Now, we know that we're being prepared from glory to glory into his very image for him, and he's going to present to himself his glory by the grace of God. That's what he'll do with his wife. But this experience here, this testimony to us, first off, in verse 2, it says, "Be ready." Now, we saw that that means to be established, it means to take aim, and it means that there is a mark for a prize. So, that is an interpretation of that word in the Hebrew. I mean, come on, that just grabs us, it gets us ready. This is be ready for glory, be established, and take aim. We know that Paul has encouraged us on for the mark, for the prize, for the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Notice when it is. It's in the morning. Now, we know that that morning, as we know, is the glory dawning morning. That means at daybreak. We know that the bride, praise God, as it speaks of, won't even enter into as those watches. You know, it says be watchful there in Mark 13. Those four watches are for ones that already missed the first trump. That bride will be taken before any of those watches begin. She will be gone. And that's why it's so important to be ready in the morning. It's not get ready. It's not what you need to be ready. And that is so beautiful. And notice, it says in the morning. And remember we read about Mount Sinai. Now Mount Sinai, that Sinai, it means First of all, it means the place of thorns. And that's a beautiful thing. And so keep that in mind as we get to that in here just a minute. But it says, come up, come up. That means to ascend, to be taken up, to be carried away. Now, we know that the Word of God says at that first trump that bride, as we know in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, that company will be taken and meet the Lord in the air. They'll be carried up. They'll be taken away. So you see all of these meaningful things that are in this precious verse. And then the next part of that is like I said, to Sinai, the place of thorns, the place of my crown, if you think of it that way. I love that with our Lord. The greatest place, the most beautiful thing of our God is the Lamb. And it is. And they put that crown of thorns on him to mock him. And yet that pleased God to bruise him. That crown of thorns, praise God, is what his love caused him to bear for you and for me. That's why it is the Lamb's wife. It's the Lamb's wife. It's that beautiful Lamb. And as it says, behold the Lamb. The Lamb slain from the foundation of the world. It's beautiful, the beautiful Lamb of God. So we thank the Lord. And we'll talk about more about that place of thorns where he meets them. But then you see here it says, present thyself there at the top of the mount. That word present means to stand. It's a beautiful thing as well too. How marvelous that is. And then at the top of the mount, the choicest place, the best place. The mount is the place where the Shulamite must go to meet the bridegroom. Now, we spent all last time we got together on this, so I'd encourage you to go back. But brothers and sisters, these things don't just happen by accident. The Lord didn't just choose these certain words and the meanings in these words just by happenstance. This is precise. This is exact. This tells, really, if you will, in very much detail of that time when the bride will be taken away. Everything about it, the purpose of it, the timing of it, where it's going to be, how it's going to be. Once again, as the Word of God says, those prophets wrote those things for us. They wanted to look into them. They wanted to understand the meaning of them. And this was an appointment, and a mighty appointment for Moses. But we thank God for this, that this was written for us. And, you know, the beautiful thing about this as well, too, if you think, Moses had seen so much glory, if you will, of the Lord. You know, there was 40 years that he was there under Pharaoh. God brought him to the backside of the desert for those next 40 years. Then the Lord brings him back into Egypt, causes all of those beautiful plagues to come forth, delivers the people out of Egypt, takes them across the sea, shows them that I'm going to bring manna from heaven and have you eat it. Shows them that I'll have quail for you to eat as well too. Shows them that I'll bring water out of that rock and it'll follow you. All of these things Moses has seen at this time of 80 years. And yet now it's time that the Lord puts on his heart. Show me thy glory. I want you to think about your life with the Lord. And a lot of folks as well too that have sat under maybe this ministry for decades. Is it time for him to show you his glory? Amen. Do you understand that? Brothers and sisters, there's always more. And I can see by the grace of God. And I thank the Lord. And I need this as a pastor. I'm grateful to God to see the light go on in you. I thank God for it finally. The fire is lit. Praise God. It wasn't because of me. God will use me for it because preaching truth and love, that's what's going to happen. But I thank the Lord. See, we need to see the mercy. We need to see the grace of God. It's not because I'm so cerebral and I'm a better Christian just because I went to Living Waters Tabernacle to understand this stuff. That's not it at all. God graced you. Be thankful. You've been given the whole counsel of God and he's given you the Holy Spirit so you can understand it. He gave you everything. And I thank the Lord. And we need to have that heart. That's that heart that's contrite. That's the heart that, praise God, that is humbled. That's the heart that will receive grace. And when there is grace and when it's received, There'll be growth. But when there's arrogance, and when there is this facade or this thought of, I'm proud, I'm haughty because I know something, let me tell you something. That's a far off. And you need grace to grow. So I'm going to tell you, by the grace of God, you better see the mercy. Don't take your eyes off of it. And then by the grace of God, you'll grow. Amen. And I thank God for it. And I'll tell you what, we're going to preach that till he come. Hallelujah. Now, let's get on to verse 3. And it says there, after he is to be ready in the morning to come up, present thyself to Mount Sinai, and there in the top of the mount, he goes on to say, and no man shall come up with thee, neither let any man be seen throughout all the mount, neither let the flocks nor herds feed before that mount. Now, I understand that there's many things that there's meaning in that. I get that, and I thank the Lord for all of the things that's been preached in it. But I'll tell you what, I'm thankful for what God is showing us and where he's leading us in it. All right? Now, once again, we left off in this last time we got together, but I want you to go back to Song of Solomon, because you're going to hear this same message, if you will, in verse 3, in Song of Solomon chapter 4, verse 6 through 12, as this is, if you will, the lover speaking to the Shulamite, the bridegroom telling the Shulamite, this is where I want you, honey. This is the love I have for you, and I want you to take it. So in Song of Solomon chapter 4, verse 6, he says here to her, until the day break and the shadow flee away, I will get me to the mountain of myrrh and to the hill of frankincense. See, brothers and sisters, that Sinai is thorns. It's a crowning of thorns. It's a mount, praise God, of suffering. There's another meaning of it, another layer of it, if you will, in that as well, too. And see, the Lord is calling us up right now to get into that mount, the mount of myrrh. The myrrh speaks of suffering. Goes on to say, thou art all fair, my love. There is no spot in thee. Come with me from Lebanon, my spouse. With me from Lebanon. Look from the top of Amana, from the top of Shinir and Hermon, from the lion's den, from the mountains of the leopards. See, the Lord wants us to venture up. He wants us to venture out. And let me tell you something, that can be a treacherous place. Going on beyond the halfway house. Going on beyond what's comfortable to us. Going on beyond, well, I know the bridal truth. I can just go on now by myself. In a sense, what I'm saying here is that the Lord wants us to go on. He wants to take us on and to take us further. And he takes us into the place of the lions and the leopards, if you will. This is that place, let me tell you, that it can be a very fearful place unless you know the glory of God. That's the place of the furnace. It's the place of the lion's den. It's the place of, if you'll suffer together with me, you'll also reign together with me. It's the only place that this will happen. Now listen, what also happens there? Thou hast ravished my heart, my sister, my spouse. Isn't that beautiful? See, when we go to that place where we enter into the sufferings together with Jesus Christ, he's ravished. The double portion is seen. You understand? This is such a beautiful portion of Scripture. My sister, my spouse. How could it not be any more clear? Amen? There is a double portion. Amen. And this is how it is right now. We know that this is the transformation of this glory doctrine, this glory message that comes in as it's revealed and made known, and we take hold of it. We move from this, if you will, from sister to spouse. Thou hast ravished my heart with one of thine eyes, with one chain of thy neck. That's how he loves us. How fair is thy love, my sister, my spouse. How much better is thy love than wine, and the smell of thine ointments than all spices. Thy lips, O my spouse, drop as the honeycomb. Honey and milk are under the tongue. And the smell of thy garments is like the smell of Lebanon. A garden enclosed is my sister, my spouse. A spring shut up, a fountain sealed. How wonderful. See, this is amazing truth, brothers and sisters. This is our life here. And in type again, this is what is being spoken to us in this testimony of Moses as he's going to see the glory. Right now, This bridal one, she dwells in the heights of glory right now. Brothers and sisters, we go alone unto him right now. Amen, we do. This is how he draws us out. And it's to the heights. And I love this because she is the prisoner of his love. That's what verse 12 is. See, look at that. A garden enclosed is my sister, my spouse. A spring shut up, a fountain sealed. This is the vessel that is only for the master's use. And we thank the Lord in this. And we've said this many times, and it is how the Lord does it. He makes us not only feel in a way, but know in his love, we're the only one. And you're the only one. And I'm the only one. And Hagen's the only one. Carolyn, you know how Jesus does this. And it's marvelous what a lover he is. But this is the only way you go there. It's just it. And I thank the Lord. And when we go there, praise God. Oh my, who we meet over there. We meet up. Amen. And that's what's a beautiful thing with that. But these are the same words, if you will, many times spoken by the Apostle Paul. How about Romans 8:17, where he says, you know what? If you, those that'll be suffering together with me, they'll be glorified together with me. Amen. We know that without suffering, there's no reigning. There's not. It must come that way. Paul said in Ephesians 3:1, I am a prisoner of Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. And what was that prisoner of? Love. Love. You can't get away from it. It just, he does it. And when you're in love, you just don't feel right unless you're with your lover. And this is this message. I thank the Lord how it draws us. And those that have that love, you might get a little bit anxious and a little bit this and that. But I'll tell you what, this love settles you down. You hear this love message and oh my, it's just well with my soul. But see, no wonder the daughters of Jerusalem in the Song of Solomon, they call out to the Shulamite. Remember, they say, return, return, O Shulamite. But she's gone. She went up there alone, just like Moses. He went up there alone. Without suffering together with him, there will never be reigning together. A spouse takes their place, sharing everything of the other, and they gladly do it because of one thing, and that's love. That's it. It's just, it's a love thing. And we're grateful to God. Now going back, let's go to verse 4 of chapter 34. It says, and he hewed two tables of stone like unto the first. And Moses rose up early in the morning and went up unto Mount Sinai as the Lord had commanded him and took in his hand the two tables of stone. Well, I'll tell you what. It only gets more and more of a message and a encouragement to us. We see here that Moses prepared his heart. Remember the tables of stone? That interprets basically written upon a heart. And it does. We understand that, yes, those things were written upon stone, but there's more depth in the meaning of hewing the stones. You must have the word and the whole counsel of the word of God to have the glory of God. That's it. It has to always come through the word of God. You're not going to have it any other way. It must be through this wondrous word. And I love that word hewed. It's not only having the word, it must be cut. Hewed means to cut or engrave. It has to be cut or engraved upon your heart. This is a heart doctrine, isn't it? This is heart. This isn't head. This is love. That's why Jesus Christ said, you know, through Paul, know the love of Christ. Amen. It's wonderful. I mean, think about what Moses said. And what was said about Moses. The people, they knew the acts of God. But Moses knew the ways of God. See, Moses knew the heart of God. He knew the Lord as a friend. He knew the love of God. Yes, he saw how the Lord loved his people. He knew how the Lord loved him. He knew the mercy of God. He saw it over and over. It wasn't just a promise. It was a promise of love. Do you understand that? See, the promises of God are yea and amen. But never forget this. God is love. It's love. His promise to us is love. And I thank the Lord. Isn't it how it all began? For God so loved the world. And from the foundation of the world, what? The Lamb slain. If that isn't love, amen. That's all that's been on God's heart is this love. And so how wonderful to see this. But we must have the Word of God to have that glory. And so the Lord wrote the Word of God, if you will, on those stones. The Lord wrote the Word of God, if you will, on the heart of Moses. And that all-powerful Word caused Moses to rise up early. I love that. See, that's what happens with us. It's not a head knowledge. It's a heart knowledge. And that's what's getting us, moment by moment, to rise up early. We're not the children of the night. We're not of that darkness. We're not of those that slumber. We're awake. By the grace of God, we're alive. We are living, if by any means, by the grace of God, for one thing. Amen? Amen. This is why we're here listening to this message tonight, by the grace of God, because we know that when we gather by His grace, we're going to hear the bridal message. And the bridal message isn't a message in the evening, at night. It's not that. It's a message at the break of dawn. It is. That's that trump sound. That's that meaning of this. It's that first thing. It's that leaping. It's everything upon the heart. It's in the morning. This is what Paul's gospel written on our heart does. We are looking, we are longing, we are loving His appearing. We are looking for the beginning of that glorious morning. Amen. And just as Moses, literally hearing, and not just God's voice, but the bridegroom's voice. You're hearing, rise up, my love, my fair one, and come away. See, you hear that now. That's not just for some other time. It's now. You need to rise up and come away to the mounts right now to go to suffer together with Him. That's that Mount Myrrh. Amen. You get on up there and it's a marvelous place. It's the place of ruling and reigning. It's the place that you really begin to know someone. When you suffer together with someone, let me tell you something, you know them. Yes, you do. You know their heart. And oh, how God brings us into that joint suffering together with Christ. See, we are in love. And so it said that Moses prepared the stones. Well, you prepare your heart for the Word of God. Hallelujah. Just like the virtuous woman, you prepare with the Word of God and then you rise up. Okay, now here we go. More meaning in the words that are used here. Okay, the word rise up in the Hebrew, you know what it means? Urgently to put a load on a camel. Do you remember the story about Rebecca? Right? Did she have time to wait? Or did they say, oh no, we got to go now? And I think it was camels, was it not, that they rode? Amen? Are you urgently putting the load on the camel? You see? It's just too good. It's just what it is. Look it up. You can't make this stuff up. No. This is not from man. This is from God. And when you look in these things, as the Holy Ghost says, you know, son, I want you to kind of look at that. And you see it and you go, oh my, this is just too much. Now, so you put a load on the camels and it's urgently, if you will, it's urgently putting the load on the camels. It isn't just, well, we'll just kind of pack it up as we, you know, feel that we need to. I'll go on my pace. No, you're not. We got to go now. Everything is about now, and it's about going now, and it's about rising up in the morning. This is an incensed kind of deal, isn't it? Amen. Because He's that kind of lover. Do you get it? I pray we do. This is love we're talking about. He's got urgent love. He's like that kid love. He ain't going to leave you alone love. He's looking through the lattice, one bat of your eye. He loves you. He adores you. He's going to come at you over and over and over and over. That's why your life is not some Harlequin novel. You're going to need Him. He's going to bring you into things, into places that You're going to distress calling out to your lover. You're going to find him. Hallelujah. Yes, as we sing, somewhere in the shadows. Huh? That's how he does it. That's the intimacy of our Lord. He's a jealous God with a jealous love, and he loves you with all that jealous passion. And by the way, he's God. So you ain't stopping that. But now, it's beautiful. The urgently, you put the load on the camels. It's all about finishing the course. It's all about getting there. Amen. And I was thankful with that. You know, going back to Genesis 24, 67 marvelous verses, right? And like we said, all of that 66 verses, if you will, is all about the bridegroom, all about his love for you, all about this proposal, all about this. Now, we know that proposal really was that they're speaking of there in those 67 verses. 66 of them happened in about a day and a half. All right? And then we knew it was months, if you will. Months. That journey from where she received the proposal to where she got to the bridegroom. That's described in one half of one verse. And then bam, she's there. That's what our life should be like. See how he captivates us right now? See, it's this message by the grace of God. This life, if we think of this and get concentrated on this, it seems like forever. And then we can just talk about the journey. And oh, it's awful. And can you believe this happened to me? And my goodness, look what this country's coming to. And we need to get a rally together and march over here and march over there. And I'll tell you what, your stuff still ain't even on the camel. You haven't even loaded up. Matter of fact, that train's gone. And I mean it. When you're focused on this, it's just like Jacob. Had to wait another 7 years. Oh, honey, it was just like a few days. I'm getting chills right now. That's love. That's love. And when you dwell in love, let me tell you something. He'll carry you through. And he'll carry you through. And not just carry you. You'll abide and abound. You'll be soaring with him in the wings of the eagle. It's marvelous what he does. And that is our God. So, how marvelous that readiness. And I'll tell you what, when you're ready like this, you're going one place. And if that's your heart, you're going to that crowning place. See, that's what that mount speaks of. It's the crowning place. And yes, it's a place of suffering. But that's where you get crowned. Not where you get clunked. You get crowned up there. And yeah, you get a little bit tattered, but that's why you endure hardness as a good soldier. You'll go for that love. You'll endure because the love's too good. But I love this as well, too. So you get to that next day. The Lord had commanded. I love that. Commanded in the Lord, in that interpretation there, it's an appointed place. See, he's not just bossing you. He's given us an appointed place to meet him. It's exact, just like the Apostle Paul said. It's a mark for the prize. Amen. It's not just, well, you kind of get to heaven, and yeah, we'll be over there some. No, matter of fact, it's a meeting in the air. It's exact. And it's going to be at the exact time, at the exact moment of the trumpet blast. The voice of the archangel. Hallelujah. As he says, come away. Amen. So it's marvelous how this all comes together. And here's the icing, if you will. Notice it says there in verse 4, and the Lord had commanded him and took in his hand the two tables of stone. It really is just too much. Took means to seize and to take a wife. He took it in his hand. See, you'll never have glory, the glory that we're speaking of here, until you take this in your hand as the spouse. It's the truth. You seize it as a spouse. And that's exactly what this is. How are we holding the word of God? Is it the keepsake? Amen. Is it the treasure of our life? Is it truly hold that fast which thou hast, that no man take thy crown? Is the word of God the crowning doctrine to you? Or is the word of God a palm for you to wave? It can be either one. Amen. It can it? What will you have eyes to see? What will your ears hear? Well, for us, by the grace of God, it's going to be enlightened eyes of understanding. And the ear, oh, it's going to be what the Spirit says to the church of Philadelphia. And I say that as my boast is in the Lord's love. I know what he's given. And he said, oh, I'll perform that good work which I've begun in you. And I know that. And I am thankful that he has promised. And I'll tell you what, he is faithful that has promised. So this is the crowning doctrine to us. And see, without the knowledge of it, you'll never desire Christ in the hope of glory. It just won't ever mean anything to you in that regard. You have to know this. Okay, verse 5. Here we go. And the Lord descended in the cloud. Isn't that wonderful? And stood with him there and proclaimed the name of the Lord. So, brothers and sisters, the Lord descended in the cloud and stood with him there. Okay. This revealing mystery to us. Let's go ahead and read of the Lord descending for us with the cloud, or in the cloud, if you will, in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. This again speaking of that first trumpet blast. And in verse 16 of 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, with the trump of God. And the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And so shall we ever be with the Lord. So how sweet this is that we see. And the Lord descended in the cloud and stood with him there and proclaimed the name of the Lord. So the Lord descended to meet him. And Moses went up to meet him. And so here they are together. And we're thankful that we have studied this, that the Lord will meet us in that cloud in the air. And we know that that cloud throughout the New Testament represents the worthies of faith. Those are the full overcomers in the Old Testament. And in that cloud, praise God, you even get the picture where it says, in the cloud. So the cloud is round about him, just as the 24 elders, and we'll get to that here in just a second, in Revelation 4, the full overcomers of the Old Testament are sitting around those 24 elders, and on those 24 thrones, they're sitting around the midst of the throne. Going over to Revelation 4:4. See if you can see the picture that the Lord is bringing forth here to us in encouragement. Revelation chapter 4, verse 4. And round about the throne were 24 seats. And upon the seats I saw 24 elders sitting clothed in white raiment. And they had on their heads crowns of gold. What are they sitting around? The midst of the throne. All right. Now we know, and we'll be there in just a second by the grace of God. In just a few verses, we know who's sitting in the midst of that throne. We know who is there with the Lord in the midst of the throne. It's the four living ones. We know that that is the bridal company that is in the center, the focus, that cloud, if you will, is all around. Oh, yes. Nah, come on now. They wrote these things for us in type and shadow and glory. Now, here we go on. Maybe the best part, going back to chapter 4. When we go on, it's the place of glory. In the place of glory, we stand together with the Lord because he is glory. He is the glory. And it says here, did you notice that? And the Lord descended in the cloud, verse 5, and stood with him there and proclaimed the name of the Lord. Psalm 22, I love this. It says, the Lord said unto my Lord. The Lord said unto my Lord. My God said to my God. Kind of brings you back to the thing where it says, you know, when they were going to, you know, make Adam. I always remember saying that to that fellow on the plane. That said it was only God. There wasn't anybody else up there in heaven. It was just God. And I said, showed him that verse. I said, well then, who was God asking when he said, let us make man in our own image? I guess my God said to my God, and my Lord said to my Lord. Okay, this is going on right here. Because what's going to happen here is it says, and the Lord descended in the cloud and stood with him there and proclaimed the name of the Lord. So he stood with him there and he proclaimed the name of the Lord. It'll even get a little bit more here in verse 6, but you can't go there yet. You might blow up. All right. Now the Father proclaimed the name of the Lord. And the word proclaimed here, it means to be given a name. To be given a name. Now, once again, Moses is looking at the back parts of God. What are the back parts of God? The future. He's looking into the future. We know in this future setting of glory that he's looking at, and everything that he's witnessed to us here, this is a bridal testimony of where and what will be when Jesus Christ takes his bride. Wherein he meets her in the air, and that cloud of witness, those full overcomers in the Old Testament, will be with him. The friends of the bridegroom will meet her with him. It's part of Hebrew culture. It's always been like that. They go get the bride together. All right? So we thank the Lord. That wasn't just a thought. Matter of fact, it was God's thought. That's how he does it. Go on back over, if you will, to Revelation. We'll go to chapter 3. Verse 12. Now this is the Philadelphia church. Him that overcometh will I make a pillar in the temple of my God. And he shall go no more out. And I will write upon him the name of my God and the name of the city of my God, which is New Jerusalem, which cometh down out of heaven from my God. And I will write upon him my new name. Once again, this word proclaim means to be given a name. This is in the future. And this glory is going to be given a name. And matter of fact, she's going to have a new name. And that's going to be written on her bridegroom. The bride, the Lamb's wife. It's just too much. So there you go. There's always something about proclaiming a name that's very special. So the glory of the Father is the Son. The glory of the Son is the bride. And matter of fact, she's the city that's furnished for him. Now, let's go on over here to verse 6 and 7. And we'll close this up here. And the Lord passed by him and proclaimed, the Lord God merciful and gracious, long-suffering, and abundant in goodness and truth, keeping mercy for thousands, forgiving iniquity and transgressions and sin. Did you listen to the description of the glory of God? Kind of surprised you, didn't it? You would have thought power and strength and might. But oh no, here's the glory of the Lord. It's mercy, gracious, long-suffering, abundant in goodness and truth, keeping mercy for thousands, forgiving iniquity and transgressions and sin. If you didn't get it just a minute ago where he said, I'm going to proclaim, the Lord's going to proclaim the name of the Lord. Do you get it now? Do you know who he's showing off here? Do you know whose glory he's speaking of here? This is Jesus. Let me tell you something. There's no remission of sin without the shedding of blood. You know that. He's the only one that can forgive sin because the Father can't even look upon sin. This is our precious Lord. He's proclaiming the glory. Amen. But so thankful that we know that when that glory is proclaimed, my, oh my, at this time, who's the glory that's going to be with him? Amen. But see, that's the glory of the Son. And he goes on, I love how the Father says this, keeping mercy, protecting mercy. And once again, I do want to inject this. It's the most valuable thing, mercy. Mercy is the only thing that will ever be clothed with the riches of his glory. Yeah, we know that in Romans, it tells us that. His vessels of mercy will be bestowed the riches of his glory. So mercy's depth and height, really, brothers and sisters, is the mother lode. It really is all about mercy. And so in wrapping this up, we have, I believe, one more week. We'll get together next week on this section one more time. We'll wrap it up on it. But it says here, and we'll leave off in this, and verse 8 of chapter 34. And Moses made haste and bowed his head toward the earth and worshiped. This, by the way, make note, this is the first time that it speaks of Moses bowing individually solely to God and worshiping him at this moment. In this fashion, the first time in 80 years of living and 80 years of seeing the mighty things of God. Amazing, isn't it? So I want to leave you with this. Turn back over to Revelation 4:4. What did we just read? Here came the glory. Moses saw the glory of God. Amen? See, he's right there in front of him. Back parts, future, all of that. He's seeing that glory pass before him. And what does he do? He falls down and he worships before him, right? Now we know that Moses, praise God, is in that company of the 24 elders, the full overcomers of the Old Testament. Not part of the four living ones. The four living ones are the bride. Bride in the midst of the throne, four living ones. I mean, the bride, the four living ones, the midst of the throne, the 24 elders round about the throne. All right? So let's read in Revelation 4, and we'll begin reading from verse 4 once again. And round about the throne were 24 seats. And upon the seats I saw 24 elders sitting clothed in white raiment, and they had on their heads crowns of gold. And out of the throne proceeded lightnings and thunderings and voices. And there were 7 lamps of fire burning before the throne, which are the 7 spirits of God. And before the throne there was a sea of glass unto crystal. And in the midst of the throne, in the middle of the throne, this means seated in the throne, and round about the throne were 4 beasts full of eyes before and behind. The first beast was like a lion, and the second beast was like a calf. The third beast was like the face of a man. The fourth beast was like a flying eagle. And the 4 beasts had each of them 6 wings about him, and they were full of eyes within and without. And they rest not day and night, saying, Holy, 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 Lord God Almighty, which was and is to come. So John sees this vision. He saw the 24 elders. They were up there. And then, bam, now he sees in that midst of the throne, oh my goodness, there's a bride in there. So we see that the 24 elders, I'll tell you what, they're seeing now and have been announced, that bride's in there. So now they see the glory. Let's read what happens next. And when those beasts give glory and honor and thanks to him that sat on the throne, who liveth forever and ever. And remember where they are. They're in the midst of the throne with him. The 24 elders. So when they're doing that, the 24 elders fell down before him that sat on the throne and worshipped him that lived forever and ever, and cast their crowns before the throne, saying, Thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power, for thou hast created all things, and for thy pleasure they are, and for thy pleasure they are and were created. So I leave you with this. Who's in the midst of the throne standing with him while all this is going on? Just like Moses, he saw the glory and he fell down and worshiped. Moses is going to see that glorious moment when she's glorified together with him. And all they're going to be able to do is to fall down and worship. Now, I know, and I don't want you to misunderstand, he's not worshiping her. But I'm going to tell you something. It was just like John when he was up there walking around being shown all of these things in heaven. And John was one that laid his head upon Jesus' breast. He knew the Lord. But I'll tell you what. That glory was just so immense from that one walking him around. He had to fall down and worship. You ready to go? Amen. We're going to stand and be dismissed. And